Oh, that I am God. Oh, thou disquieted soul. Oh, thou that art forlorn. Thou art beset with many demonic forces that have hindering you, tempted you to give up, putting a cloud upon you, in a hole so deep you don't know how to find out. You can't see the top. You don't know how to get out. In a wasteland, in a barren land, in a dryness in your soul, you don't know how you can live. Confused, mind battled, bogged down, tempted to commit suicide, blasted by the enemy on every side. Be still. Be still, still those voices inside, and know that your God liveth. Know that He has not forsaken you. He sees you in the furnace. He even sees you in the furnace of your own making. He sees you having tried to flee to Tarshish. He sees you've gone down to Joppa, down into the boat, down into the bottom of the sea. When you cry out unto Him, you vow to pay the holy vow of your lips unto Him and your sacrifices, that old monster will throw you out onto dry land, and God will set you again for the ministry He's called you to, and you will be that prophet of God or that minister of God or what He's called you. Be still and know that He is God. He reigneth forever and forever. Those that magnify themselves in the earth, He will abase. The Nebuchadnezzars will be driven insane by demonic spirits. They will lose their kingdoms. But he that believeth in the righteous one shall shine as the firmament forever, and he shall endure forever, and the kingdom shall be given to the saints, to the overcomers. And those that will say that they are of the people of God, but do lie, will come and bow before your feet, and will acknowledge that God is in you the truth, when they shall see that God reigneth within, and those forces are no longer there. And then this is the hour when God is calling us to come out of Babylon, because He said that Babylon would be full of every demonic spirit, every hateful bird, every unclean and spotted one. It should be a cage, a foul hole of demonic spirits, and it's under the God of this world. And He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God, and touch not the unclean thing, that you be not partakers of their deeds and of their plagues, and we can add of their demon spirits, that you might be holy and separate, saith the Lord your God. That's what God is calling in this hour, a people who will make a sanctified decision, who will go to the cross of Jesus Christ, lay themselves before the cross, for except the man deny himself and take up his cross and follow Him who took a way of self-denial, saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He who is willing to drink the bitter dregs, he who is willing to give himself for others, except you follow Him, you cannot be my disciple. For a disciple is one that emanates the Master, that learns from the Master, that follows the Master, that propagates the Master. And there's no way that we can live opposite and be disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I would like you tonight to come to the cross. Be praying that you may be willing. Go up into Mount Sinai, where God is calling you. Take all those darlings of your hearts that stand between you and God, those things that are more important than God. God says, I don't want them. You put them to death. And until you surrender them and give them up, He's not going to allow you to come down from Mount Moriah. You're going to stay there until you give up that thing that stands between you and Him. And if it's your ministry, if it's your husband, if it's your children, if it's that unsaved mate, if it's somebody else's spouse, no matter what it might be, you cannot come down from that mountain. You'll be on that mountain. And God will require that sacrifice. And if it's something that God has given, He wants you to have, and it's holy, when you give it up, He'll say, hold, stay your hand. For now I know that you love me more than that. I give you back that which I give you as long as you keep it second. As long as you love Jesus first, and the ministry and the things and your family and everything second. For hath the scripture saith in vain that he that dwelleth within you has a strong desire to jealousy, wholly desiring you, as it says in the Greek text, Jesus must be first. And my friend, if you're wandering out in the labors of life and through the valleys and the difficulties, if you're wandering out, if you're in the pigsty as a prodigal son, feeding the hogs, having wasted your father's substance, having left the father's presence, having lost all those things that God has ordained that you have as a child of God, and you've spent your life in riotous living, and now you're down, then again say, I will arise and come back to my Father. You'll find His eyes ever watching. You'll find His arms ever spread. He's looking down that road every day, waiting for you to come back. He'll put the shoes back on your feet. You'll no longer be up in slavery. He'll put the ring of ownership upon your finger. He'll clothe the robe of righteousness about you. He'll kill the fatted calf and feast to make merry, and all the angels in heaven will rejoice for one lost lamb has come back into the fold again. Praise His holy, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Speaking tonight on the demonic underground. All evil and opposing forces have an above-ground operation and an underground operation. Now, the reason for an above-ground operation is that if you don't have an operation that's manifest to all, then you have no outlet to espouse your philosophy. You can't get people to recruiters to join you. You can't operate with an outward system and propagate it. So you must have an above ground system. But you also need an underground operation, because everybody is not buying your philosophy and they oppose it. And if you want to gain an adherence and down an enemy and gain inroads into those that are different, you are going to have to gain them by subtlety. You're going to have fronts. You're going to have those operations in which you can move in without being detected while you propagate to those who would otherwise not be allowed to listen or would not normally listen. You have to come under some other guise so they will turn out to listen. You're going to have to present it in a way that they don't know what they're going to get hooked at. For example, plain truth all over these magazines. If they all came out and says, this is the W. Armstrong theology that is being attacked in ecumenical and attacked in fundamental circles worldwide, not many people would open the book. But by calling it plain truth, having a lot of what it seems to be a very sensible production, well done, put together with news about the world and news about health and news about a lot of other things in religion, those that are not really studied in the Word, don't really know it. It all seems to make sense, and it's easy to get hooked into that which is, in the final analysis, not plain truth at all. Now, some examples are communism. Communism has to work above ground because they want to espouse the philosophy and gain an adherence. They also have to have an underground operation, because everyone won't buy it, and yet they want to take over, and so they must go through many guises, many fronts. They must take advantage of a lot of different type of things. For example, they go down into the Caribbean, or into South America. They go down in places where, for example, the Spaniards came down, and some of those islands were uninhabited. And they landed there. And they were the very first people there. And then they took slaves from Africa, and they brought in Catholicism. And the people became Catholic, and their people were there, and they built their colonies. And they brought slaves in also to work from Europe. And they also brought in slaves from Africa who brought in Spiritism. And they multiplied and multiplied until the land was full of blacks from Africa. And their country, having a more advanced civilization, began to mine gold and mine silver and build homes and a lot of other things, bring in horses and carriages and plant fields and vineyards and just do lots of things. And those from Africa added nothing except in their labor. And centuries went by, and their families grew and developed, and slavery was abolished, and the land was there. And then the communists come in, and they say, who owns all these factories? Well, the Spanish people do. Now, it could be the Dutch or the English or the Germans or whoever it was came in. This is a colony of theirs, having owned it for hundreds of years. And they themselves being the first one there, in many cases. Sometimes they weren't the first one there. And, who owns all these mansions? Oh, well, the Spanish people. Well, who owns all these wealthy things? Well, the Spanish people. Well, who lives in these hovels, these little tiny shacks and little buildings over here? Well, that's where us blacks live. That doesn't seem quite fair that Spain should own your land, do you? I mean, you're the majority here. And they were relatively happy. I mean, it's all they knew. You say, well, I don't think that's really fair. That is fair. I was down there on the island of Tobago, for example, which is a nothing place, and it's 17 miles from Trinidad, which is about 17 miles from Venezuela, South America. And that land, if you went there, you'd be absolutely appalled. The supermarkets are some little dinky shop. Two-thirds of the shelves are empty. No refrigerated items. No variation in anything. A poor place. It has practically nothing. No beautiful scenery. I mean, there's really nothing there but a few American hotels and French hotels, that type of thing, on a beach. And the main money is American tourism. And one person down there, a taxi driver, he said, Tobago's got everything you need. It has everything. Because the only place he's ever been is Trinidad. And he didn't like the big cities in Trinidad. And he just felt like, well, what more do you need? I mean, Trinidad's got everything you'd want. So they were happy. If he ever came and saw a supermarket in America, he'd fall flat in his face. He'd be out for 3 or 4 days. If he ever saw the bon marché, if he ever saw the things that we've got, they have no idea what the life in the rest of the world has looked like. And these people were relatively happy until the communists came in. The communists have worked very hard in the Caribbean, very hard. And they've taken over much of it already. And they come in and make these people get all upset and angry at the people who came in and made mines and developed those lands. And what happened to the black people? All of a sudden they had jobs. And they began to ride bicycles. Sure, they weren't Cadillacs. They rode bicycles before they walked. They had shoes before they were barefooted. They've got silver pieces of clothes now, and before they had just scraps of clothes. They scratched the ground and had practically nothing. Now they got more food. They've got television sets. They got radio. They've got a lot more than they ever had because of the colonialists. And they did not have the enterprise. They had no money to put into it. It's just like you go to the island of Dominica. Their unemployment rate, I think, is something like 60%. The people stand around with absolutely totally nothing to do. They have no jobs. There's only one soap factory in the island that holds 600 employees, and nobody else has anything to do. Practically nothing. They import a few grapefruit to France. The rest lay there and just rot by the piles. And they have nothing. It's these big countries that come in from England and so forth and give them the wealth. Sure, they make sure they get their share of it. They plow the millions into it. They take the risks. They allow them to come in. In many cases, they were there first. But, see, they came all disturbed and making them think we should have the land. This is unfair. They finally, communists pushed into, in fact, there was a great outside in Tobago, was a great big sign outside the tourist office, which you'd think they would want to be kind of polite to American tourism, because that's where the money comes from. And it says, Tobago, hell for the blacks, haven for the tourists. Well, the truth of the matter is, foreign countries came in and built a few beautiful hotels, hired all their black people to work in them. They get big American tips, which are so much money for their living, that if they make more in their tips in an hour than their own workers do all day long at hard work out there. They make fabulous stuff. I did a lot of checking when I was in these places and asked them how much various people make and so forth. A maid in a hotel, a bellboy in a hotel, he makes more. I sat beside a major general in the Air Force, and this is in Mexico. And the amount of money that the bellboys make a lot more than a major general does. I mean, the wealthiest people are the black people that take care of the American tourists. And so here they are fussing because they don't have these hotels and the money is coming in. They got taxi cab drivers, everything else. I mean, you know, they're all being rebuilt. So they go finally independent. So then what? Then they really get into trouble. And now America is spending $17 million a year trying to keep Tobago afloat. And Jamaica was biting the hand of the tourists so badly they began to lose their business. They began to economically begin to plunge. And they finally had a wise enough mayor that instituted a program that 17 nations have followed, saying, we better wise up down here because the communists got them so upset and so ugly and even brought down the Black Panthers and from America and other communist-oriented black and got them so disturbed, they were so mean to the tourists that they disappeared and they began to lose their money. And you see, this is what communism is doing for them. Now, when the communist finally takes over, what do they do for them? They're in worse poverty than ever. See, they work underground in these areas. They don't come out and espouse. They work underground. Now, I could tell you lots more details, but so I'm going to tell you what for the moment. The United States also, we have a above-ground operation, who we are, what we stand for in this country. We don't do a very good job of it, but we've got it. And we've also got our underground, which the leftists have been trying to get rid of. They don't like our underground because it's too effective. And our CIA or FBI have been able to nail just so. We have kept many countries from going communism because of our CIA. They have done a marvelous and outstanding job around the country. Yes, some of our liberal governments have used them in some wrong ways, but nonetheless, they have been an amazing thing to let us know what Russia is doing in other countries, and they've saved a lot. I've got a lot of information on that. God also operates above ground. For all those that will come into the kingdom, espouse, take it, he also operates underground. Not only in parables and in proverbs and hiding things in his word that they might not know, but he's got an underground church. Not only in some behind the iron curtain, but he has got an invisible church, an invisible church. If it was all visible right now, it would be smashed. It wouldn't even be allowed to operate. He's got something building. It's going to be a big surprise to the devil and the liberals and everybody else of an inward thing. The devil also has above ground. They got the Satanists. They propagate all their filth and everything. But everybody won't buy that. A big part of it is underground. And because people will not buy that directly from the devil, the average American, an average person, says, oh, I got this neat religion. It's called the devil's religion. They said, get out of here, see. But they will buy the devil's religion if it comes in another cloak. And so they work underground. Now, whenever a nation lacks power to win in an all-out visible war, but they find their gaining through an underground system, they will always choose to stay hidden and operate behind fronts and underground. And that's what Russia is doing. Russia does not prefer an all-out war. They are gaining the world piece by piece through their underground revolutionary activities. And they only are above ground when they have to. Now, they have some things above ground for the adherents and for their spouses or causes, but they also got the underground for the same to do more. That's what they prefer to do. Demon forces the same way. Now, when I worked for the Boeing company a number of years ago, I had a top secret card, and I had to sign that I did not belong to any of these communist fronts. There was, I don't remember, but I would guess maybe around 6 or 7 pages of a baby box, a fine print of about 6 columns on a page all long. Loads and loads and loads of these, all these fronts I never even heard of, most of them, but just a few of them. These were all the fronts. Now, if I were dictator of this country, I would have an instant mass arrest of all of them and deport them all as undesirable citizens. Get rid of the leaven. But anyway, you know, the liberals, they have always want to fight for the rights for every front, every communist front, every corruptible, every criminal, everything, you know. That's the way they operate, just as long as you know how to fill the Holy Ghost. They don't want you. In the book called Nundale Called Treason, the second highest person in the Soviet spy system defected to the United States. And at least at that time, most of what we knew about the Soviet spy system came from his briefcase that he brought with him. And he himself asked the leader in Russia of all the Russian spy system a question. He said, how come all spies operate so freely in the United States and they catch so very few of them? He said, we'd catch them if they were in our country. How come they can't catch us? And the answer he gave was, as he related to the FBI here, because it's two reasons. One, we've got so many of them that when they catch a few, they all do a war dance and think they got them all. And the second thing is, we've got them in such high respected places that none dare call it treason. And that became the name of the book. None dare call it treason. And you go down the line, Rosenbergs, Rosenthal's, Harriman, J. Dexter White, and so forth. The assistant treasurer, appointed by President Roosevelt, for example, was shipping plates to Russia for putting American money during the war. He was a communist. He was giving things. He was exposed by Senator McCarthy and Eleanor Roosevelt, and others all rose up, because I think President Roosevelt died by that time, and they all rose up. Adlai Stevenson rose up. They all castigated McCarthy. This is unfair. He's a good man. He's a personal friend, and this, and this, and this, and this. But the FBI got him absolutely, totally red-handed. Nailed him flat, see. Same with the Rosenthals and others. I saw big, long lines around the post office, you know, save the Rosenthals, you know, and I knew good and well they were those communists, you know, all around. They always got the voices out making the loudest noise for those. They had so many diplomats in. Most of the diplomats have come in. A big portion of them, according to the information from, are spies. But they got diplomatic immunity, so when we catch them, all we can do is just send them back home again. They send new ones. And that's the way we operate, because this country is not in tune with the law as it should be. Now, whenever an underground is suspected, there's immediate cover-up. Now, these same things happen with demons, you understand. We get so many demons, so many places, get them in high places. You've got them in the Pope systems. You've got them in the Cardinals. I mean, people don't like you to say that. They get all upset when you see things like that. That's right. The devil has got his people in all these false religions and high churches. Oh, you shouldn't say anything. People get so upset if you say anything against any church. In other words, if the devil has come in with false religion in any churches, you should never expose it. If you've got filth and rot in your school system, never expose it. If you got sickness in your family, in your body, don't ever expose it. If a doctor ever says, oh, you've got cancer all over, oh, no, I don't think that's very fair. I mean, I got a good husband. I don't think it's very fair. Now, you wouldn't do that. But that's exactly what we're doing in some of these other things. Afraid to expose the devil. That's his trick. His trick is, don't ever say anything against any church. The devil uses churches. He likes churches. He operates in churches. My father asked a minister one time, a liberal minister, after he heard him a little bit. He said, why do you even read from this Bible? He says, it's pretty evident you don't believe it. He said, well, I have just found out that if I read a passage or two, he said, then the people will believe anything else I say afterwards. He told them that. There's a lot of snakes The Communist Party put $17 million, I think it is, was in the first pilot enterprise in the Methodist seminaries in this country a good many years ago to try to liberalize the seminaries. And they have followed up with many millions in many of the top seminaries and churches in this country. There have been many communists. The people said, how come so many ministers are going communist? They said, no, it's not that. So many communists are becoming ministers. The other way around, just like over in Hungary, when a priest arrested the congregation. They said, it was a Catholic priest. He said, but you were a priest. You took our confessionals. You gave us Mass. He said, dupes. See, a lot of people, they don't know. They're so naive, they cannot believe it. They'll wake up way too late. Now, whenever an underground is suspected, there's immediate cover-up. Three systems are usually used. One, you blame others for it. That's what the devil does. Two, you lay low for a while. The devil does that too. And three, you divert attention to other things. You just start making a diversion, get everybody also upset about something else, that they forget about this, get their attention shifted, so they won't be too worried about it for too long. Now, there are other things too, but that's some of the things. For example, in the McCarthy era, Senator McCarthy, contrary to the movies about him, television about him, the mass media reports about him in this generation, and I lived in his generation, was a senator who was a true-blooded American, who was deeply concerned about communism, who had a good head on his shoulders, who was an honest man full of integrity, who was all aware that of spook and witch hunting was a dangerous operation in the White House. And therefore he made positive that he had absolute fact, and he had him nailed tight before he ever got up and said so-and-so is a communist. And when he got up and said they were communists, invariably the FBI found him and nailed him and over and over again proved that he was true and that was right. But the communists became so scared because he was really digging in and finding out. And the FBI was finding out, and those were days when it was very unpopular to be a communist. And those were days you had to sign, you know, whether you're a communist or not, to get certain jobs and so forth. And they launched a smear campaign against McCarthy, called it the McCarthyism area. They hit it so hard and so constantly and so much, and got all the communist sympathizers with them and all the dupes and all the liberals, that today the average person thinks that McCarthy was nothing but a rabble-rouser, unthinking man running around calling a lot of innocent American communists, which is totally contrary to the fact. But when they found out that J. Dexter White, who Mrs. Roosevelt stood up for, and Adlai Stevenson stood up for, Rosenthal and others, when they found out they were communists, and some of those were executed, did McCarthy ever rise in public opinion? Did Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt go down and Adlai Stevenson? No, he ran for president. Put him in the head of the League of Nations. The brainwash was so thorough, the people wouldn't believe it. And this is what's happening in these demonic realms. They launched what was called the anti-communist campaign. There was an anti-communist campaign going. So they launched an anti-communist crusade. Kind of like the counter-revolution the Catholics launched after the counter-reformation they launched after the Reformation. And so the practice was every time somebody said, this is communism, they would all immediately alert all the people to run up and say, oh, communism, communism. Everybody's from communism. Witch hunters, Salem witch hunters, everything's communist. See, all this. And they would ridicule the thing to pieces and make everybody think they're irresponsible. They took some men in high position and ridiculed them until they lost office. Men who were exposing them, men who had truth. And I've read stories about people that were men of integrity that they smeared so badly in this country that they could no longer hold the face up. And the devil does the same thing. He'll find ministers of God, people that are preaching the truth down in the devil. He'll smear them right and left. He'll do everything possible. He'll gain everybody to smear them. And all the dupes just believe it. Until they can't do a thing left. If the people will believe it. That's why I've been teaching you so hard in this area. Now, the demons, there's an anti-demon campaign too. Oh, demons, demons. Everything's demons. I was over at a man's house still, you know, and that demon was talking back. This man had loved me and respected me in this church, and there was not one thing right with this church. I knew that thing was coming for the day. I could not say one word, but he had something like this, you know, and I began to pray inside. And after I laid hands on him and I kept talking to demons, even though he was denying them, that thing was free and his problem was over, and it gave me a big hug and everything was fine. We had a girl in this assembly who was one of the most messed up of demons. And these demons have come in, they have battled until she's practically insane, and even came in and brought demons of suicide in. And her life was just about over. They're having to do everything possible, just about destroying this person. And she had demons telling her, we really doubt what this thing's going on down here. I don't believe I've got demons. I don't believe these are really demons. You see how powerful those things are? This was an anti-demon campaign. In fact, I found the people who disagree the most with it are those who are the fullest of the demons. Those are the most messed up, who've got deep demons that hate to have it exposed. These demons are telling them, oh, that's just a lot of baloney. And then some of them are telling them, she started crying when I talked to her. She said, well, I don't like that stuff. And I said, well, do you believe this is true? She said, well, I believe it's true. I said, well, who does like it? None of us like the junk. That's why we're getting rid of it. We're shoveling out, but the testimonies are so good. But see, these demons do anything to affect your emotions some way, so they won't be... They're working underground. Now, communism, which is a anti-God tyrannical system, the occultism, which is a full of demons, the demonic false god system where you worship demons and or Satan instead of God, and liberalism, so-called, which is lawless rebelliousness and sensual self-love and self-God, are three of the major tools of the devil. And they've all got above-ground operations and below-ground operations. There are blatant Satan worshippers, but most of it is through deceit. They come with a voice, they speak to you, and they tell you it's from God. I'm going to make you a prophet. I'm going to make you the pastor's leader. I'm going to make you, and then you will be able to tell the pastor and work with him and you and him, and that has caused real hurt in some saints. He said, I'm going to be right up here and kind of feeding the pastor information so he can operate. And they didn't know that was a lie. God never intended that. And that's happened to a number of people. Oh, they say, this is the voice of your dead husband. You know, necromancy, automatic writings, and so forth. You hear that medium, that spirit guide that goes, and he mimics the voice of the lost husband or whatever. See, he works underground, and he doesn't let you know who it really is. Oh, this is the voice of your inner awareness. You know, see? All that stuff. Now, there are blatant liberals. They call it a throw-off-the-marriage yoke. Throw off the guilt of sin, as a psychiatrist. One Christian family took the kid was going to Bible college, and he was under a lot of pressure, you know, and so forth, and he was having troubles, and they took him to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, well, your problem, son, is after talking to you, I can see your problem. You got guilt feelings about sin. But of course he did. He had some sin problems, lust problems, whatever, and he felt guilty in his heart. And they said, you go out, curse, drink, smoke, just forget that, get free. Those things are just robbing him. And the kid went out and did that, and then he has his condemnation, and he felt so guilty he committed suicide. And that's what they did by taking him to a professional. They lost the boy to a professional, so-called. A professional, know nothing. These blatant liberals, they call, throw off religion in American society. Not use the word God for 40 years as an experiment. That was one of them. Throw out the songs of the blood of Christ, which most of them have already done. Throw out the restraints against homosexuality, children's sex, adultery, fornication, pornography. I mean, it's all right. Two consenting adults, no problem. Husband can't even beat up somebody who's having sexual relations with his wife anymore. Two consenting adults, none of your business, husband. You know, it didn't used to be that way. Used to be you'd pull out a revolver and go blam, 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 blam. And the judge says justified homicide. Next case. It's changed. In fact, right now, there is a new push to okay incest. Now, and down with the moral majority and throw out nationalism. But most of the devil's activities are under a smokescreen of anti-censorship for freedom of rights. In other words, bring all the filth in, and nobody has a right to say anything. The school board has nothing to say about what filthy books on the shelf and filthy things are thrown, because we would have censorship. And if we had that kind of censorship, then maybe none of us could do anything. They're not going to take away the rights of everybody because they want to get away from some filth. I mean, is there no limit? That's like saying there should be no law against stealing, robbing, killing, and raping, because if you got laws against that, pretty soon there'll be laws against everything. We won't even be able to buy a head of celery from the head of lettuce from the store, you know? See, it's just kind of warped thinking. Equal rights on the air, which means that if you bring anything to expose us, boy, we're going to come and fight you like crazy. Civil rights program, so-called, international rights, so-called, world concern, the minority concern, environmental concern, animal concern, plant concern, dirt concern, you know, concern for children of Christians, you know, for field, concern for their preschool nurseries, and concern for the disciples of cults who want to stay there, and concern for the poor and the jobbers and the communists and the heathen and the homosexual and the criminal and the energy safety, and they're concerned about everything, but never concerned for holiness, purity, Christ-loving Christians, God, never concerned about those things. And there are blatant communist propagandists, you know, like Gus Hall, president of the Communist Party, that stood up in America and said, you ministers like to sing about the blood. He says, you're going to get blood, your blood. He came out in America and told them that there was going to be a purge in America when the communists took over, running for president of the United States. Nobody even stopped him. Not in the millennium, brother. You know, they'll get away with something like that. Not if I were head of the country. You've got Marx, Engels, Lenin, Khrushchev, all these people, you know. They have to open espousals, but most part, they're underground. There's a spy system. They evoked the Fifth Amendment. Just recently, a whole people, a bunch of communists got millions of dollars because of some, in the past, they weren't allowed to evoke, you know, to do it. Because they evoked the Fifth Amendment, well, not that they were communists, they weren't given jobs in the White House and in government circles, because they were not refused to say they were communists. Now they're collecting millions of dollars on the lawsuit, a whole gang of them. So what a mess people are. Mixed up. They do everything for the enemy. I mean, it should be clear cut that if you belong to a system that advocates the overthrow of the government as treason, you should be shot, not collecting money. And they operate under fronts. And then they use the dupes, the liberals, and so forth. Now, communism is taking the world by underground. Look how much they've got so far. Started off with 4,000 people in Russia, just 4,000, when they took over Russia, is all they had. Just back in the early part of this century, and now look at the globe that they've got in communism. And it hasn't been with wars, it's been underground. Now, Satan is also taking the world by underground. He's the god of this world, and he hasn't come by saying, Satan and demons are better than God and angels. That was a lousy philosophy. Only this one is good. That's not how he's taken it. He's taken it to religions that say, we believe in God. And he's hidden his own identity. It's been an underground movement. It's been in the churches. Once there's an offensive against communists, then they come out and really fight. Once there's offensive against demons, they come out and they really fight. And that's what we're seeing. You see, before they were allowed to stay underground, so they stay in. They prefer to work underground if possible, just like communism prefers to work underground if possible. Once they're stood up, once they're manifest, once they're exposed, war. And that's where we're going. And if we hit them with all-out war, we win. Now, see, before, I've told you, I told counselors, I preached, I said, you know, pray for people, don't just counsel, deal with these things on a demonic level, rebuke those spirits. It was all good, but we just didn't go far enough. We need now all-out war. Now, communism prefers to weaken the United States through rebellion, internal strife, self-determination versus government, decadency, do-your-own-thing, lethargy, strikes, discouragement, and so forth. For example, I know a person who works at the Boeing Company who told me himself he was a communist. He used to be. I know him very well. Well, I don't know him really well, but I mean, I don't see him real often, but I mean, I know the person very well as a person. And he said, my job with the Communist Party, the only thing they told me to do, was constantly go on and stir up agitation during the wartime at the Boeing Company with the building B-17 bombers for the war. But just always fuss about making us do too much work and not enough wages. We should be striking and gripe and waste everybody, get everybody all agitated. That was his total job. That's what demons run, doing that all the time. They're walking around, gripe about the pastor and gripe about the elder. You know, this council gave me a wrong deal, this church deal, and I don't think that's fair. And this thing, you know, have you noticed that everything's red? How come everything's red here? I like blue, you know? And, you know, blah, 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 just everything to stir people up. See? They're agitating demons just to get everybody upset all the time. And don't you think there's too much control? Don't you think that we should be there? Don't you think this? And I think this. You see, there's that constant underground activity of the demons. You're going to find out one day that it was demons that you've opened up to. Now, communism prefers to work through dupes and sympathizers, like Dr. Swartz, the most able anti-communist expositor says. And they find people that are just dupes. They don't know any better. They're just naive dumbbells that'll believe anything you tell them. And they're listening to what you're saying instead of what you're doing. They're these kind of people that you open your coat and say, psst, you want to buy a good buy on watches? You know? Psst, I got a good deal. Tell you what. I got this big deal I want to give you. I want to share this $50,000 I got with you. But first of all, you have to put a $4,000 front money. I'll be back in about 15 minutes. Oh, really wonderful, yeah, you know. See, you know, we got some just about like that, you know. When the demons come along, they're just about as dumb. And communism prefers to work from the inside of the country. Demons prefer to work from the inside. Communism prefers to stir up problems and let other people carry it and be blamed. They do it all the time. They work together, get something started, propagate, get it all, get the fires going, and then they melt in the background and let all the dupes and the sympathizers and everybody who doesn't carry a communist card, they all get in, get them all agitated, and then they work like crazy, get everything in a big boil, and then when it's all done, nobody knows the communists had anything to do with it. Say, well, I don't think the communists had anything to do with it. There have been some very clever things. I know some people get mad at me for saying this, but and some people already got mad at me for saying this, but I'll say it again. This preacher, this black preacher back east, Dr. Martin Luther King, he never advocated violence. He always got the people agitated by reason of exposing the how badly they were treated, and then came on with, like the beast that came up out of the in Revelation, and it came out of the ground, and he spoke as a lamb. I mean, he had two horns as a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon, see. Well, he came out and say, but no violence. Get you all inflamed, but no violence, no violence. But he knew they were going to have violence. He get them more and more agitated. Now, the counterpart was over here. This person over here was saying, like Malcolm X and the others, they were saying, violence! Violence! They were collecting the violent people. These were getting the non-violent people more and more violent, but under the guise of peace and love for all. But we got to respect, you know, and so forth. Now, see, the devil does that. Communism does that. I've got evidence. In fact, it wasn't just in the newspaper the other day that one of the senators in this country, when they wanted to make Dr. Martin Luther King a national day, he said, how about the communist activities that we've got all this proof of? And they've got a lot of documentation, and they kept removing people, and then he kept shifting people around, as they would find out that when the Communist Party in the Senate, the subcommittee, the Senate found out about it, but they put their finger on it. Once it was exposed, they would shift it. But you see, people are so dupes. They are so dupes. I mean, after all, if he did a lot for the blacks don't want to believe he had anything to do with that. They don't want to believe that. And this man over here, he's a president of the state. You voted for him. You don't want to believe that he did something like that. You know, you don't want to believe something like that. The mind repels at believing certain things. And they will not listen to certain facts. And the same thing is true in the demonic world. They don't want to really believe that these are demons. So they shut their mind to it. Doctors find out all the time. They even get x-rays of people showing their cancer, and they will not even believe it's cancer. Won't believe it. Show somebody that they say, this your fiancé is in the mafia. I won't believe that. No, he's not. He's guilty of murder. No, he's not. How do you know? Well, only because I love him. And I decided to blindly trust him. That didn't prove a thing. See, people, they're so subjective that they cannot be objective enough to really look at any evidence and see what's really going on. I'm trying to talk about the devil, and I'm showing you some parallels here. Now, communists also prefer to take advantage of other people's misbehaviors. What they do is they let people who are upset get something going. They rush in and they send in materials. They send in some people. You know, they always do this. Defend if they send in some. If it's a nation, for example, like in Argentina, they send in military advisors and. Things like this. They're sending them photos of the spy satellites, and they always rush in with people to help and so forth to help. Once they see a fire, they all run in with gasoline cans. And that's what the devil does. Once something comes up inside, once we see sees a fight between two, once he sees misunderstanding, he rushes in and they begin, see, all these demons come in and begin to fan that thing to a flame. Ain't you? You need to understand this. Now, communists prefer not to answer on the grounds that they may tend to incriminate them. Demons usually also tend to not answer on the grounds that it might tend to incriminate them. They would not like for you to know they're demons, because when you do, you shut them off, because you don't want demons. So they make you think that it's something else, you see. And, for example, I'm going to get ahead of myself for a minute. For example, a person says, well, it's my Irish temple. It's my Italian temple. Well, it's my Greek temple. You know, see, there's so many of them. Well, it's my Dutch stubbornness. Well, it's my English pride. Well, it's my old Austrian German pride. Now, these are demonic responses to transfer blame and remain underground. In other words, what they're really saying is, I lived with a parent, with this demon, for so long that I opened up to it, and now it lives in my body to influence and tempt my mind. So because my mother had it and she was German, and then her mother had it and she was German, that demon had been imbibed from mother to daughter to mother to daughter, and so I'm blaming on my high German ancestry, Austrian or whatever it is, pride, where it's really a demon of pride. And I said that to say this, if you don't want your child with demons, you had better get delivered. Because those sweet little darlings are going to grow up with those demonic responses. In fact, there's a little 2-year-old boy, not in this church, but another church. He has already beat up, making marks and so forth, according to good testimony of somebody, a pastor, you know, in his church, a whole lot of little people's babies. And he grabbed one of them by the hair, and he was kicking him this way in the stomach, 2 years old. Most 2 years old don't have that kind of coordination. Had him by the hair, kicking him all the way in his stomach like this with his feet. Now, that is a demon force. He had opened up. You know, see, his mind, he's a body, soul, and spirit. You don't have to be very smart to open up to demons. You have to only open up to them. He'd been around that thing apparently for so long in some place that thing came in.
They need to get him aside, and they need to talk to him and have him rebuke their spirit. They need to come against that. They need to rebuke that, and they need to cast that thing out. You've got to be careful about such things. I'm not saying that every time you get a problem that your child immediately has a demon, but those demons, they watch mom and daddy, and then they start copying, and if they open up to it long enough, they are going to have those problems. We've got people who testify, I've had this demon, he said, since I was 6 years old. You know, since I was a little girl, I got this demon. I've had it all my life. This demon has bothered me. We've got a lot of people tell things like that. And your children are going to get the same ones you got if you don't get rid of them. And that ought to make us really hasten the pace as well. I am this little child in the service right now, little darling little girl. She's changing. I'm watching her change because her parents were having a problem. And I'm watching that little thing. And I've had two or three other people telling me, too, they're watching that thing change. Well, there's still time to rescue. But, the Bible says, it's better that a millstone be put about your neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. The Greek has two words for millstones. These little ones like this the women use to grind a little bit for bread. And they got this great, big, enormous one, the ox's paw, and Jesus used that word. It's a hyperbole, obviously. But he was just saying, better you really sink yourself in the depths of the sea than to offend one of those little ones. Now, it's harder to get rid of communism in a nation if the nation is unbalanced in all the thinking. And it's more difficult to get rid of demons in a person if they're unbalanced in all the thinking. Or if the church is unbalanced in their thinking. It's easier to keep communism out of a country if the spirit of communism is out. And it's easier to keep demons out of people if keep the demons out when the spirit of those demons are out. In other words, if you've got demons who are out of you, it's easier to keep them out. And it's easier to keep communism out of a country if you once got it expelled and doesn't have that spirit of communism in there working. It's easier to get communism out of a country if it's fully exposed as to its true self and true nature. For example, I just read part of a book the other day, just a piece of it. I read a Reader's Digest, first of all, and then the other day I read just another section of it. And my wife made a really good statement, and I agreed. It's a book called MiG-25 Pilot, and it's about this communist lieutenant who brought this MiG-25 top Russian fighter plane to Japan, and he came to the United States. And I tell you, if that book was, they're really muffing it, when they brought him here and the CIA was taking control of him, what they should have done is put him on television, have him told his entire story and series across the United States in television. That would have done more than anything to really let people know what communism was really like. He never had a pair of shoes until he was 5 years old, or until he was 6 years old. He wore one shirt for 5 years when he was just a young fella. Things were so messed up in that country. I mean, things were so bad. And yet he was told he came to Japan, and they bought him from a little store, bought him some Japanese food and so on. And he said, this was delicious. We get this. And this big feast. And he said, oh, just a little joint across the street. And he said, well, they've been telling us all you people in Japan are starving to death. He came to the United States and saw a supermarket. He was sure it was a setup. He would not believe this was something you just show people like us. That he could not believe that this was people. And he traveled, and he had to go through mind battles because of what they told him about the problems in this country. Even the crime that's so bad. He said, you know what crime is. He said, you know, it's over in Russia, you see him. He said, take people on the middle of the street in daylight. He said, cut the clothes off of them, take the underclothes, take them out and sell them. He said, you don't know what crime is in this country. He told a lot of things. He went through some mind battles because of the lies that they had told him about this. He could not believe that we really had what we've had today and the freedoms and everything else and farms, and he just didn't know how to act. And it's a really interesting book, and it really would open people's eyes. It's non-religious completely. I haven't heard from the man, but I told my wife, we both said, if he gets enough exposure, we hope he falls in some place where they learn about the good Christianity and the Holy Ghost and so forth, because now he learns everything else they told him is a lie. He's kind of wide open for everything new right now. And it'd be marvelous if he got the rest of the story and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't know, of course, what's happened to him since the book was written. Now, it's easier to get venereal disease out of your body, incurable or otherwise, by prayer, if the spirit of lust is gone. When you're saying, Lord, take away the disease caused by lust, and you keep the lust, you see, you don't get the same kind of results. It's easier to get, I believe, cancer of caused by tobacco out. If you get the spirit of tobacco out of the person, the tobacco out of them. It's better to keep smoking, saying, Lord, get rid of the cancer caused by smoking. Now, part of our problem is we keep lusting, asking to get rid of the problem. Maybe a physical sickness, or maybe our actions. Our heart is in love with it, we want to get rid of the actions. Our heart is in love with it, and we got the actions, we want to get rid of the disease. You see, you've got to get rid of the desire for the thing to get rid of the demon. I'm not saying there's no exceptions. Because, you know, heart is, you know, well, I want to get rid of everything, even though I don't, and so forth. God gives them Damascus Road experiences, it seems like, but he knows people's hearts and he knows people's lives. There's a lot of things I could say in that regard. It would take a lot of qualification. I must rush on at the moment. It's easier to get out communism, cultism, liberalism, demons, pornography, TV, movies, rock music, adultery, homosexuals, and so forth, when one sits down and analyzes the situation and counts the cost, and because willing to pay the price. If you want to get rid of your demons, sit down and analyze what you've got, what kind of problems, and get willing to count the cost and pay the price, and then you'll find out that God will release you from a lot of them like this, and then if you need somebody else, you'll go a lot faster, because you've already stood against them, your will is strong, you plowed the ground up. A lot of them, hundreds of them, will just leave without anything. In fact, it's, you know, when people are watching somebody, and as Keith said back in Wisconsin, you watch somebody and the demons are leaving. What's happening? They're making decisions. I said, boy, that's what they are. I don't want me to. I get out and, oh, Lord, you know, I don't want to go through this. Oh, Lord, I give it up. Really work on it. So the problem is we think we're a lot more willing to give these things up than we are. We say, well, I don't want these. Who? The spirit man or the flesh man? The flesh, too often the spirit man's talking. But the flesh hasn't really come. And then when you really see it, and you're going to be exposed, you're going to be nixed, and you say, oh, boy, I better clean the house. Oh, I thought you were the one who had already been cleaning all you could clean. And all of a sudden you find out that you hadn't even begun to clean yet. You see, so we're not always honest with ourselves. The Bible says, well, the heart is desperately deceitful. Who can know it? We kid ourselves. We say, oh, I'm fully ready, totally committed. You can count on me. Truth is, we are not. And now, let me just give you a test right now. Do you think that you are fully willing, totally, to give up every demon manifest, every demon that's been hassling you, every sin in your life? Are you totally willing? You just can't fight it, but you're totally willing. You want to do anything, and you've done everything you know. Now, if the answer is no, I'm not, well, no wonder you've got a problem. No wonder. You're in bad shape before the Lord. Now, if you say, yes, I'm willing, and then we say, all right, now the Spirit of the Lord is going to come in Revelation, is going to call your name out, and it's going to tell all these things, unless you are willing to get rid of them, unless you get rid of them. Would you, all of a sudden, and you're going to go through all these demonic manifestations, everybody's going to know everything you've done, all of a sudden, would you say, well, hold it, give me a little bit of time. We say, well, let's do it right now, you've done everything you can do, we might as well do it right now. And if that was the way it's going to be, you're going to do it now because you've done all you can do, oh, we'll give you 24 more hours, would you beg for 24 more hours? And if so, why, since you've done everything you could do? We say, well, I think maybe I could, look and see. See, we're not always honest with ourselves. And we need to know that sometimes so we can do something about it. Because the devil, he lies to us. He says, well, you've done all you can do. You know, I mean, you've done all you... What else do you expect? You love Jesus. I mean, you pray to get me. You've done all you can do. You just can't fight me. You might as well admit it and go live for the Lord and best you can and just leave me here. We say, yeah, sounds right. Now, if the world and the United States does not root out communism, it's going to slowly take over. And these other nations are examples. they've let it come in, first a little, few people here espousing it, daily worker, you know, we allow it to go on, and pretty soon you allow them to run for president, and then you allow them in the House and the Senate, and then you allow them to this, and then you take into consideration about what the fairness doctrines for them, and pretty soon they're taking over, and pretty soon they've got your government. And they've taken over lots of them that way. In fact, they've got what they call the 7-year plan, taking the little ones over every 7 years, taking them over. Now, if the United States and the world is not rid out occultism, what's going to happen? It's going to take over. If we don't rid out liberalism, it'll take over. If we don't rid out so-called free love, it'll take over. I mean, if you allow everybody to have all the fornication, adultery that they feel like, pretty soon everybody's going to be doing it. Now, I don't mean everybody. I shouldn't mean this in a qualified way, but I mean it will take over the nation. Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. You never used to get away with filthy talk in movies like today, but since they allow it, it's taking over. But the devil will always work that way. Drugs, if you don't really clamp down and stop it, it'll take over. Well, we don't have the money to watch the borders. My question is, then how do you have the money to give to other countries? How come we had money to give to Brasilia to build those great, big, fantastic marble and brass statues in the city of Brasilia with the little reflection ponds and the big highway supermarkets that cross over the little hovels down there below? How come we got money to fund that when we can't watch your own borders against drugs? How come we got money to give away? How come we got money to get Israel to give up the Sinai Peninsula, agreeing to build bases for them at our expense? I mean, what are we doing involving ourselves in that when we don't have the money to... In other words, I say misappropriation of money. First you take your money, you put it home, get rid of crime and the devil and drugs and all the rest, and if you don't have money for that, you don't have money for anything else out there. See? In other words, that is not really the truth. If they won't spend the money for it, their hearts are not right. If they had the right kind of heart, brother, you'd be finding them scraping money up for that. You got money for everything but the right things, it seems like. Now, if the church does not root out sin and unsubmissiveness and rebellion and gossip, etc., it takes over. If it isn't root out, listen, the whole church is just loaded with sin. If Christians don't root out sin from their life and unsubmissiveness and rebellion and gossip, it will take over. Listen, the wife won't be rebellious, and same way with the home. The wife won't be... And then you mess everything up. It'll destroy. If Christians do not root out demons out of their life, then sin will abound and it will increase. You see, communism will always increase and take over if allowed. Don't think they say, okay, that's your country, Russia, and we respect your border, and now that's all you're going to take. Okay. You trust that? No. Communism will always expand wherever it has opportunity. That's why all these salt agreements are not worth a pinch of salt. They lie all the time. They just got through the other day promising us they were not developing any more. They came out and said we were not building any more of these certain SS sophisticated missiles, and we found out that they're still doing it on the same monthly, on the same weekly basis as they've always done, the same production. You can't trust one thing they say. Liberalism will always increase and take over for loud. Occultism will do the same. False religion will do the same. Criticalness will do the same. Lust will do the same. Sin will do the same. Because Satan has a world strategy of conquest. And everything he uses will always increase as a cancer, as leaven, because he is panos, wicked. He hates God. He's going to do everything to rob God of every creation he can. He's going to hurt God as much as possible. He knows he's doomed. He has an untiring effort, and so that not one thing that a demon won't do in you but will increase if you don't get rid of him. It will never stay the same. Excepting for the grace of God, the work of God. Unless God is chopping it down, it will keep building and increasing till you get final total destruction, called the great apostasy, if you're living in the last days and you become a part of it. Now, how Christians ever overcome all these forces? How are we supposed to overcome all this brainwash of the devil in the world? One witness. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Make converts by witnessing. Two, by example. Draw others by your example. In other words, be. Get rid of the demons and be. Live the life. And three, by supplicating God. You receive not because you ask not. Beyond your faces, supplicating God. Pray ye that he will send workers into the vineyards and so forth. Now, about that. How do you overcome in your own life after you've followed all the admonitions, all the teachings, all the perspectives, including constantly in prayer? You've done everything you know to do to be delivered. And you've come yourself and you're constantly in prayer. You've set yourself for deliverance. And you seem like nothing's happening. What do you do? Let me tell you what to do. Put these three things together and you will get delivered. One, be. The act of being. In other words, the person says, well, I'm totally committed. Well, then live it. I've given up everything. Well, then live it. I'm willing to do anything God wants. Prove it. I've come against every single thing. I've rebuked every single demon. Well, then live that way. I've made a decision in every area for Jesus. Prove it. I'm totally now dedicated to my husband. Prove it. In other words, go out and live it. And prove it, and resist everything that comes your way from either direction. B, when you prove the sincerity or show up your insincerity, as the case may be, when you prove it, both of you are going to be in a good place before God. God will always take a person who will do that and begin to feed him with his spirit and deliver him and move those other things out, and you'll be in a good position with God. Now, add to that, patience. Be with patience. That's what I have. I for 24 hours. Be patient. Just be patient. Walk in it with well doing. Test yourself to see what you'll be in the faith. And then add to that trust. Just trust the Lord that He will do it. And you will find that God will indeed deliver you and bring you up into His presence. This is the hour of deliverance. Believe, clean house, move on into what God is doing, and trust God, and He'll give you the victory. The essential thing that I wanted to emphasize tonight, and I haven't had time to amplify it as yet, but I want you to recognize these demon forces have been working underground. And a little later, I'll get down to some real specifics. But you come to grips, start thinking about this attitude. Could that be because of this spirit that has taken over? When did I yield to that thing? What am I going to do about it? Do I want to continue this way? So I have got next Tuesday night. Now, probably Keith and all the elders probably will stay another week. We'll let you know to Sunday. And we'll probably continue these daily sessions. But Tuesday night, there will be, as announced, the marriage seminar. And this marriage seminar is the one that I feel is the most important of all of the four. And it's the one I'm going to bring you something about. I'm going to show you how sneaky the devil is and how he got a whole lot of little chain things going between husband and wives. And how you got to a place where you couldn't love your husband, and how you got to a place where your husband wouldn't give you the time of day, and he wouldn't just give you, be sweet to you, and all of this, love you. I'm going to show you some things about, and I'm also going to bring the important aspect of how to solve your marriage problem gracefully. Some real keys. Take those keys and add to those things, of course, demonic, get rid of these demons, be praying. Come to grips with these things. Recognize what these things really are that cause you to flare up. So we just don't put demon against demon here. Tomorrow morning I have some more perspectives that I think are going to be very valuable. So Sunday morning, that I feel are going to be really valuable. Once we get all this, and then we get busy with it and put it in action, brother, we are going to really defeat the devil. And then what happens? Once he gets out, and the glory and the joy of the Lord come in, and then once that comes, then what? Now he can trust you with the gifts. Then what? Doors swing open and ministry. You see, he's preparing for something. Because the days are short, it must come to pass. He's waited with long patience for the fruit of the earth, and he's got to have the fruit. And he can't do it for everybody who's defeated, who don't believe that Jesus loves them. He's got to do it for people who know whom they believe. They know Jesus loves them. They're on top. They're free. They've got joy. They've got glory. And we've got God's name. We've got a little strength. We have not denied his name. And therefore, God is working. And he's working with others too. And God's going to raise up an invisible army that's going to come across this earth and going to change some things. And it won't be very long between that and the millennium. Things are going to be done right. Then we'll go to a new home. Praise the Lord. There's some good times up ahead. Just believe and hang on. This is not the time to give up.